Chapter 24. You're the cruelest and most inconsiderate people in the world, apostrophe said Mrs. Varden, bridling. I wonder old Mr. Willett, having been a married man himself, doesn't know better than to conduct himself as he does. His doing it for profit is no excuse. I would rather pay the money 20 times over, and have Varden come home like a respectable and sober tradesman. If there is one character, apostrophe said Mrs. Varden with great emphasis, that offends and disgusts me more than another, it is a sot. Apostrophe, come, Martha, my dear, apostrophe said the locksmith cheerily, let us have tea, and don't let us talk about sots. There are none here, and Joe don't want to hear about them, I dare say. Apostrophe, at this crisis, Mix appeared with toast. I dare say he does not, apostrophe said Mrs. Varden, and I dare say you do not, Varden. It's a very unpleasant subject, I have no doubt, though I won't say it's personal, Mix coughed, whatever I may be forced to think, Mix sneezed expressively. You never will know, Varden, and nobody at young Mr. Willett's age, you'll excuse me, sir, can be expected to know what a woman suffers when she is waiting at home under such circumstances. If you don't believe me, as I know you don't, here's Mix, who is only too often a witness of it, ask her. Apostrophe, oh, she were very bad the other night, sir, indeed she were, said Mix. If you hadn't the sweetness of an angel in you, mim, I don't think you could bear it, I really don't. Apostrophe, Mix, apostrophe said Mrs. Varden, you're profane. Apostrophe, begging your pardon, mim, apostrophe returned Mix, with shrill rapidity, such was not my intentions, and such I hope, is not my character, though I am but a servant. Apostrophe, answering me, Mix, and providing yourself, apostrophe retorted her mistress, looking round with dignity, is one and the same thing. How dare you speak of angels in connection with your sinful fellow beings, mere, said Mrs. Varden, glancing at herself in a neighboring mirror, and arranging the ribbon of her cap in a more becoming fashion, mere worms and grovelers as we are. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I did not intend, mim, if you please, to give offense, apostrophe said Mix, confident in the strength of her compliment, and developing strongly in the throat as usual, and I did not expect it would be took as such. I hope I know my own unworthiness, and that I hate and despise myself, and all my fellow creatures as every practicable Christian should. Apostrophe, you'll have the goodness, if you please, apostrophe said Mrs. Varden, loftily, to step upstairs, and see if Dolly has finished dressing, and to tell her, that the chair, that was ordered for her will be here in a minute, and that if she keeps it waiting, I shall send it away that instant. I'm sorry to see, that you don't take your tea, Varden, and that you don't take yours, Mr. Joseph. Though of course it would be foolish of me to expect that anything that can be had at home, and in the company of females, would please you. Apostrophe, this pronoun was understood in the plural sense, and included both gentlemen, upon both of whom it was rather hard and undeserved, for Gabriel had applied himself to the meal with a very promising appetite, until it was spoilt by Mrs. Varden herself, and Joe had as great a liking for the female society of the locksmith's house, or for a part of it at all events, as man could well entertain. But he had no opportunity to say anything in his own defense, for at that moment Dolly herself appeared, and struck him quite dumb with her beauty. Never had Dolly looked so handsome as she did then, in all the glow and grace of youth, with all her charms increased a hundredfold by a most becoming dress, by a thousand little coquettish ways which nobody could assume with a better grace, and all the sparkling expectation of that accursed party. It is impossible to tell how Joe hated that party wherever it was, and all the other people who were going to it, whoever they were. And she hardly looked at him, no, hardly looked at him. And when the chair was seen through the open door coming blundering into the workshop, she actually clapped her hands and seemed glad to go. But Joe gave her his arm, there was some comfort in that, and handed her into it. to see her seat herself inside, with her laughing eyes brighter than diamonds, and her hand. Surely she had the prettiest hand in the world on the ledge of the open window, and her little finger provokingly and pertly tilted up, as if it wondered why Joe didn't squeeze or kiss it. To think how well one, or two of the modest snowdrops, would have become that delicate bodice, and how they were lying neglected outside the parlor window. To see how Mix looked on with a face expressive of knowing how all this loveliness was got up, and of being in the secret of every string and pin and hook and eye, and of saying it ain't half as real as you think, and I could look quite as well myself if I took the pains. To hear that provoking precious little scream when the chair was hoisted on its poles, and to catch that transient, but not to be forgotten vision of the happy face within what torments and aggravations, and yet what delights were these. The very chairmen seemed favored rivals as they bore her down the street. There never was such an alteration in a small room in a small time as in that parlor when they went back to finish tea. So dark, so deserted, so perfectly disenchanted. It seemed such sheer nonsense to be sitting tamely there, when she was at a dance with more lovers than man could calculate fluttering about her with the whole party doting on and adoring her, and wanting to marry her. Mix was hovering about too, and the fact of her existence, the mere circumstance of her ever having been born, appeared, after Dolly, such an unaccountable practical joke. It was impossible to talk. It couldn't be done. He had nothing left for it, but to stir his tea round, and round, and round, and ruminate on all the fascinations of the locksmith's lovely daughter. Gabriel was dull too. It was a part of the certain uncertainty of Mrs. Varden's temper, that when they were in this condition, she should be gay and sprightly. I need have a cheerful disposition, I am sure, apostrophe said the smiling housewife, to preserve any spirits at all. And how I do it, I can scarcely tell. Apostrophe, mim, apostrophe side mix, begging your pardon for the interruption, there and a many like you. Apostrophe, take away, mix, apostrophe said Mrs. Varden, rising, take away, pray. I know I may restrain here, and as I wish everybody to enjoy themselves as they best can, I feel I had better go. Apostrophe, no, no, Martha, apostrophe cried the locksmith. Stop here. I'm sure we shall be very sorry to lose you, eh, Joe? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Joe started, and said certainly. Apostrophe, thank you, Varden, my dear, apostrophe returned his wife. But I know your wishes better. Tobacco and beer, or spirits, have much greater attractions than any I can boast of, and therefore I shall go and sit upstairs, and look out of window, my love. Good night, Mr. Joseph. I'm very glad to have seen you, and I only wish I could have provided something more suitable to your taste. Remember me very kindly, if you please, to old Mr. Willett, and tell him that, whenever he comes here I have a crow to pluck with him. Good night. Apostrophe, apostrophe, having uttered these words with great sweetness of manner, the good lady dropped a curtsy remarkable for its condescension, and serenely withdrew. And it was for this Joe had looked forward to the 25th of March for weeks and weeks, and had gathered the flowers with so much care, and had cocked his hat, and made himself so smart. This was the end of all his bold determination, resolved upon for the 100th time, to speak out to Dolly and tell her how he loved her. To see her for a minute for, but a minute, to find her going out to a party and glad to go, to be looked upon as a common pipe smoker, beer bibber, spirit guzzler, and tooth spot. He bade farewell to his friend the locksmith, and hastened to take horse at the Black Lion, thinking as he turned towards home, as many another Joe has thought before and since, that here was an end to all his hopes, that the thing was impossible, and never could be, that she didn't care for him, that he was wretched for life, and that the only congenial prospect left him was to go for a soldier or a sailor, and get some obliging enemy to knock his brains out as soon as possible. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.